Okay, hello. Welcome to the afternoon. I can see that time. Okay. So my first disclaimer is going to be my laptop crashed on the route here. So I've reviewed my slides on my phone without the notes. So we're going to hope all this works, which would bring me to one point later on in the presentation about backing your technology up. So I'm going to be focusing on how do you collect the data and how do you handle and manage it for your program, assuming you're probably in a low-resource setting and assuming you're probably doing community work. You probably aren't NIH-funded. Those guys generally have somebody on their team who's their tech. But a lot of our projects that are more community-based in public health, often wherever the project head or wherever they point to becomes the data manager. And many of us look at that and go, what do I do? I'm a public health person, or I'm an environmentalist, or I'm an advocate, or in my case, I'm a nurse. Nurses don't do data, right? No, we do. And we can bring a lot of those skills we've learned other places into this. So before I get into the details of that, we do have to do the official disclaimer, or claimer, whichever it is. In this case, I'm disclaiming any financial relationships that I need to talk about. So this is what I started opening up with. What's the background for this presentation? Why do we need to hear about that? Often, and this also applies to a lot of our early career researchers, you often wind up doing a lot of your own data management initially. Even if you don't, you're going to be talking to somebody who talks from the data world, and you're going to have to figure out how to talk with them a little bit and what questions to ask them, even if you're not managing your own system, per se. So how do you design the project and the data parts of it? Remembering all of it's a system. All of it is about how do you support that project, and that would be my bottom line. You don't collect data just to collect data. There are some who do, which is totally great. I use their data. That's not what I'm doing. I'm a project person. I'm a get out and do it, I'm a nurse. I'm doing it for something else, and I'm going to collect the data I need to keep my project running and to prove my project was worthwhile. So I'm going to look at all my data that way. I'm going to look at how it's connected to my project development and my project evaluation from day one. My very strong bias is evaluation starts before the project. Going back and cleaning up and trying to figure out how to evaluate the project 3 years in. Been there, done that. It's not fun. And it's even less fun to prove you actually did something in that case. So very much biased to starting your data and your evaluation processes and thoughts from the initial get up and go of even thinking about the project and how you might finance it or fund it or roll it out. But the other thing is if you're coming at it from a project point of view, you've got a lot of project handling skills, and a lot of those translate over to data. You may need to use different words and slightly different sets of questions, but if you can manage a project, you can manage the data set too. Foremost at the top, plan and record. I'm very biased. I initially started out going, I never write anything down. Why bother? That just gets in my way of doing. Having lived through several projects later, I've realized that if I don't record it, I have not a clue. Even 2 weeks later. Especially since often you are running several projects. So which one was it I decided to do what in? Or as a data manager I worked with used to say, she had a whole notebook full of notes. And the title on the book was the I Get Hit by a Bus. Translation, you may not be around, you may be on leave, you may be on vacation, you may have been hit by the bus. If you don't leave notes, the person behind you is playing a massive guessing game. And the person behind you may actually be you. Because a lot of our data stuff is done at semi-annual intervals. What decision did I make last year? Good grief, what did I eat for dinner last night? I can't answer that question. So writing it down and keeping a list, however you do that, however you manage that, keep a plan and keep the record of your changes. Changes are fine. Life happens. But record when you did them so you know how to adapt and move forward. And you know how to say, oh,
yeah, that's right. We changed this part of the plan 2 years in, and I can give you the date, and I can tell you the difference before and after, if I have to. So recording it. And I'll talk about a couple of tools I use to do that. And then just in general, I said that your project management skills will work. But there are some special questions asked, and that's kind of what I'm going to focus on. But first, I'm going to give you just a little background on... I'm a nurse. We do learning objectives. If we do presentations, we have to have them up there. So they're there. Yeah. At least one type of kind of program. I mean, one of the things that overwhelms many of us who are not data people, what's the computer program I use for that? A couple of actions that you can take to lay out your data system for collection. One of the things as I said, I'm very biased, that evaluation starts at the start of your thinking about the project. And that includes things about what kind of outputs will I need? How do I get to that output? And some security concerns, and that's one that's hit me upside the head several times, and I'll talk about some distinct issues in that depending on where you are. Conflict statement, I put that in again, and then they give us an official slide. And my qualifications, as I said, I'm a nurse. That's not generally the person you think of as being your data manager, right? You generally think of us doing something else. So I have done a number of things, mostly because I've been working in rural, remote areas and very low-resource areas, where I've had to manage my own project data, and have gained a fair number of skills over time, and then wound up being the lead in helping a couple of different systems develop their project management and evaluation, especially around data and how we handle it, how we secure it, how we make decisions about it. And taught several data management courses at different levels. And did some work in developing a couple of nonprofit organizations, helping them figure out how they were going to integrate their data and move forward. A very grant-based organization that had lots of interesting funding streams, many of which their long-term funding streams were 6 months long. So how do they keep the data going as they were building their communities? And that particular one was in a refugee and conflict setting. And so they had some very significant issues to deal with besides just how to keep the data going. But they were also trying to develop their communities, so they needed long-term ideas. So we were working on that. So kind of the couple of things to think about right at the start is you're going to have to plan how to manage your data. Now, I've looked at a number of data books, and I've got to tell you, I managed to get to about 8 or 9 of them and then finally went, okay, they're all written for programmers, all written for coders, and they're all written in languages that actually aren't spoken by humans. They're written in C++, you know, that kind of thing. And they don't tell me how to manage the data. They don't tell me any of that. They tell me how to write the code for the formula I want, which is great. I need that information. But I also need to know what to do with this stuff, how to organize it, how to make it into something that I can report out. So I don't actually have a really good reference book for you. I have a couple of offhand references if anybody wants to ask me later. But over time, I developed kind of a series of questions that I think through when I'm thinking through my data projects, the data parts of my projects, I should say. Because I don't actually manage data projects. I manage other projects that need data. So how do I think through those set of questions? And I will definitely say I'm biased into writing it down, and that's having had several systems that I've had to take over from other folks, and you're sitting there going, I had not a clue what they were doing. I can make some guesses, but it's pure unadulterated guesswork, so I can't really back up that it's going forward in the way they were thinking or anything like that. So write it down. I have a set of different blank tables I keep depending on how complicated my project is, and I'll show you one that's very simple. One of the ones I was going to pull in before my laptop crashed was the more complicated one. If you want, I can send you the blanks. I've got them. I actually did manage to get them to my email, so I can email them to you if you want in PDF form. And I can also do the PowerPoint if you want. So write it down. I tend to use tables. I like tables. They're nice neat columns. I can organize them. I move into hyper-organized mode when I'm working with data some days, so I like tables. Always have it handy. I always store it in the exact same folder as my actual data and my database. And I always keep a how-to file in the same folder also with all of my notes about this is how I built that formula and why I decided that. And this is when we collected that data and that kind of thing. Granted, it's not great reading, but if anybody ever had to rebuild my databases, including me, I have a fighting chance. And that's important. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm not aiming for rocket science, but I am aiming for being able to rebuild it if I need to. So this is kind of the set of questions that I start with. What are my project objectives? Notice I didn't skip to what computer program am I using. I really need to start at my project. What are my project's objectives? How am I planning to measure those objectives? It's part of your program planning, part of your project planning. So how are you going to do that? What's the time frame, both for my project and if I'm going to use somebody else's data, what's their time frame for letting me know? So I put all of this in a format. As I said, I use table. And the next question, highly technical, what data bits do you need for that objective? And by that, I mean things like, one of the projects we were working on in Goma was a war rape trauma. And one of our data points we were measuring was how many women came into the hospital as victims of war rape trauma. So I needed a count, but I also was looking at rates. What was the percentage of the population? So for that, I needed actually two different things. I needed to know Goma's population, and I needed to make some decisions right up front. Was I'm talking Goma's population prior to 100,000 refugees flooding into town because of the conflicts around us? Or was I adding those in? So, and I actually wrote that down because, you know, you debate these things back and forth and some days you forget which one you finally decided, especially when it's cold. So writing that down. And I'd actually write down the data bits. I actually have a column that says, you know, pieces of data, actually I think I'll call it pieces. And now I have the population, how I define the population, and what was my count number? Was it a midway count? Was it a count only at this hospital? What was it? So I'll write those down so I define what I'm looking for. And I keep that in the table. So what data bits do I need for each of those measures? And for each objective in your project, you have objective measures and figuring those out so I know what I need to go collect. Where can I get those bits? In that case, we actually decided we were going to use Goma populations based on a certain year because we had it. We wrote it down. So where could I get that information? And for that one, the count that we were going to look at was only going to be the particular hospital I was working in and their remote clinics. So I knew where I was going to get the data from. And again, I wrote it down. I'm not there now. They're managing the project. The local project's still ongoing. But they have the record, in this case it's English, on what we decided then as we move forward. So, and what bits were those time frames were those bits available? So our Goma population numbers were only available, well, they were only available pre-escalation. So we had to go with that. We wrote it, you know, noted what we were using. And hoped that they would come up with some new time frames. And we put down, we would check annually with the state section to find out what they thought. And then, who's going to be collecting it? Am I going to be going over to Goma City office and getting that number? If I'm going to say I'm getting it annually? Is it going to be somebody else on the project? Is it going to be, you know, a job description item kind of thing? Who's doing it and how frequently? That helps in bigger, kind of convoluted projects. So this did not turn out very well, and my apologies. You can see my notes to myself that I was going to add something and I was going to change colors. This is a very simple version of the table I use. The top, what's my objective? activities that we're going to use in that objective, data to be collected, and then comments. I always have a comment column. And when I get more complicated, like I'm building my own database, I actually will have, you know, any field build notes, notes to myself that this is the type of field I'm going to use, here they're going to be the drop-down answers, that kind of stuff. Data tools. Things to think about for those of us who are not computer, computers aren't our basics where we live. What's the monetary cost? That one, most of us are there. Cost of data security. What's it going to cost you to secure the data the way you need to, and to maintain it, and analyze it? What's your comfort level? Are you kind of a spreadsheet kind of person, and you can do it, but you can't do the advanced? Cool, but you need to know that going into the project. And if somebody else is doing it for you, what's their comfort level? And occasionally, in some settings, you need things like portability. You need to think about things like language. The GOMO one, we had to actually work with computers that were French and English speaking and British speaking. And that was an issue. And sometimes you need to think about display issues, like your funder says, you will give me this format. My go-to set in the U.S. context, EpiInfo, free. CDC has an amazing help site. It will do analysis. And best of all, if I'm building a database somebody else is going to put data in, it has a lovely layout for developing the survey data entry page that I don't have to know how to code behind it to make that look pretty and make it workable for the people I'm working with. I just build it and they got it fairly intuitive. In the U.S., Microsoft Office, most of us use it. Professional version is my go-to because I want the advanced Excel no one access. A couple others I use now again Zotero, a bibliographic online open source database. I store a lot of stuff in there, especially screenshots anymore. When I'm looking through my list, I used to use an encryption program called TrueCrypt. They've been booted out of the market, and I need to find a new one. But that's one of your security questions. I'm going to skip over the international one here. So looking at outputs, what kinds of outputs are you going to use? Think about what kinds of stuff your funder wants you to have, or your community needs so they can process the information. Security, you need a policy on what you're going to do. Now, you may be working in an organization that already has a policy, and that's one of the reasons why I don't have a new encryption program listed anymore, because I now work for an organization that already tells me what I'm going to do, and I can't use that. So you need to find that out. If they don't, you need the policy written. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do if that laptop gets stolen or broken or whatever? And have it down and figure out how you can respond. Now, with the context I was working in GOMA, we literally wrote into the policy how to destroy the data if the rebels came to town and you need to get out. And right down to how to literally destroy the computer to exit, which was never a plan I thought I would be writing. But that was part of what we needed. Some of the security locked doors and locked doors are fine. You know, sometimes the passwords are fine. But think about what you're storing, what kind of data it is, what kind of security it needs, what kind of agency requirements or law requirements around it. And a lot of us miss that. Yeah, I thought maybe. So we're going to have time at the end for more questions, but I have time for about one question right now. And then we can move on to the next presentations. And I will be around a little bit afterwards, too.
Questions for Margaret?
When you're developing, this is a security, but developing an ID number per person, if you want to have a database that is de-identifiable, and then you create an ID, that do you have suggestions for doing that in a way that a person would be able to remember their ID, so you don't need a lookup database in your system that then would identify?
Right. So the question was about you need to de-identify your data, but you need to identify the person in the project because they're coming back probably. Lots of different ways to address that. The ID code itself, you can make it a multi-layer where you add on each time they come in and you use a random draw from the computer. If you want to get less technical, literally now and again, the ID list locked someplace else and encrypted, separated will give you some security.
and you can do that. I've seen that done in a number of research projects, especially in low resource areas where we couldn't encrypt because the good encryption technology couldn't be imported. You can also do some really imaginative things depending on the size of your population. If your project population is fairly big, your imagination is going to be fairly limited. If it's fairly small, you can pick out names that are very like color-based or symbol-based and that kind of thing, and maybe work from there. If it's fairly small, 20, 60 kind of cohort. If you're talking bigger groups, then probably you're going to wind up better locking your ID someplace else, maybe physically locking it, or maybe encrypting and physically locking it, depending on how sensitive it is. I've seen some very complicated ones that are extremely hard to use, that we actually couldn't go back and identify who was who, and you couldn't do any long-term stuff. But we can talk offline too.
Thank you, Margaret.